they all agree, one of the most emotional issues in and out of Alaska today. So those are the kinds of issues that we deal with. It's been very rewarding personally to me to see the number of women that have been appointed recently, particularly in the Carter administration, in positions of policy with respect to resource matters and with respect to land planning. In the Department of the Interior, I just take a great deal of pleasure in seeing the very young, intelligent women who are in policy positions in the Department of the Interior. And I must say, I've dealt with the department for a number of years, and this is a very refreshing change. I think that I would not want to see those women go up through the chairs and become as stereotyped as the men in the bureaucracy. I think one of the things that they bring to their task that is very rewarding is a new look at things, and not having come up through the system, they're not put off by the size of someone's desk or the GS rating of that person, and they're more inclined to attack the problem and not pay too much attention to protocol, and sometimes to start at the top and work down instead of at the bottom and work up. I think that, coupled with the great general knowledge that most women have had to obtain in their lives, is the thing that they contribute most to government, at least from my observation. I would not want to see that change. In fact, in thinking through this whole exercise, I'm amazed to find that I come out very much a revolutionary rather than an evolutionary person. I have a friend who used to tease me and said, you know, that's Esther, she'll be out on the corner with a petition getting everybody to sign their names and go through the process. But I've always approached the feminist movement as just a matter of simple justice, that all human beings are entitled to the same kind of treatment. But the more I think about it, the more I realize that what I'm really seeking is not the same kind of treatment in the system, but really changes of the systems themselves. And this is particularly true as I watch my husband go through the process of retiring at 65 and realize the very overt and sometimes subtle pressures that men also bear. So I think that when the Equal Rights Amendment is accomplished and when what most of you are seeking is accomplished, what we really have will be some substantial societal change that really will ennoble us all. Thank you very much.
Okay, are there any questions you'd like to ask?
Yes, I'd like to ask a question about the changes in the system that you were suggesting and you hope to see happen. But you didn't want to work so much within the
Well, one of the things I think are some very practical kind of things that are happening, and we are accomplishing them at the commission, has to do with part-time employment. There are many men who would love to have a three-day week or a half-day week job, just as women do. I think that's one kind of systems change that could be made. The other, I think, is a societal change of just the way you view human beings, that you don't expect this to be a woman's job or that to be a man's job. And that, again, that you don't be put off by protocol and structure. I've always laughed in church. I guess that's been one of my problems. Well, there was tremendous inflation, the creation of a number of new jobs, of course, which were only temporary during the building of the line. The maintenance of the line and the shipment of the oil does not affect the Alaska economy, you know, as much as the spurt during the building of the line. So the Alaska economy is kind of in a pause right now, with most people thinking that there'll be another boom or another spurt when the Alaska gas pipeline is constructed. But it's worked to the detriment, I think, and here I'm speaking from my own point of view, it's worked to the detriment of the people of Alaska, I think, to the extent that there has been such inflation, and the people who've suffered the most are the people on fixed incomes, like teachers. In places like Fairbanks, where the pipeline wages were, I think, extraordinarily high, higher than they needed to have been to obtain the competent people. It pulled away policemen and all public servants who were working at a lesser wage, and I think really impacted places like Fairbanks particularly, and crime rates and abused wives and children and an environmental impact statement, of course, was filed on the oil pipeline. I've always thought a social impact statement also should have been filed. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's a hard question. One of the ideas behind the Native Claim Settlement Act was to put Alaska Natives in the position of being able to choose their own lifestyle. I'd like to think that Alaska is large enough that in some regions of Alaska that lifestyle can be preserved, but I don't think it behooves me or anybody else who is not an Alaska Native to tell an Alaska Native what they should choose. I think each individual is going to choose differently. I think there is tremendous pressure to westernize Alaska Natives, but I don't like to tell someone else what's good for them. Where it stands right now, the subcommittee has not started markup yet. They had gone through some briefings the last few weeks. The last thing that I've heard that's happening is that Congressman Meads is going to hold a workshop the end of this month. That the subcommittee, if they come back when the energy bill is voted on, will begin markup. But we really don't look for markup to begin in earnest until Congress comes back in January. The UDAL committee print now calls for 102 million acres, which is less than the 116 million acres that H.R. 39 first had in it. Yes. Okay, I hope I haven't taken all your time.
See, we'd like to thank Mrs. Wanneke for the informative information, particularly for those of us from the East Coast, on Alaska and the problems and some of the things that we should be aware of.